Wow, I just finished interviewing Nick Natten, a 5-time Emmy Award-winning producer and director, and he told me all the secrets about how he gets some of the greatest people's stories and this really cool principle called story selling. You guys got to check this out. If you want more of these kinds of tips, make sure you click the subscribe button. Ring the bell. Get the notifications. You guys are going to love this content. Stay tuned and watch this crazy cool interview with Nick Natten.
Hey, everybody. I'm so excited today. You have the opportunity to meet like the coolest guy I know when it comes to film and movies and books and everything else. I want to introduce you guys to Nick Natten. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave. I'm super excited to be on the show. Heard a lot about it and excited to talk with you for a few minutes.
This again, for those of you guys who may not know Nick, Nick is a 5-time Emmy Award-winning director, He also basically is a best-selling author, Wall Street Journal best-selling author of the book called Story Selling. I've stolen that title so many different times, but I want to give you props, Nick, because it obviously came from you. So thanks so much for being on the show.
Hey, man, thank you. Hopefully we can give hopefully I can share, much like many of your other guests, and I'm sure you share too, the things that I think have helped me to accomplish what I've achieved so far. Hopefully I've got a lot left in me, but at least if I can shorten the road for some people, I'd be happy to do that.
I mean, Nick, 5-time award-winning director and producer. I'm just shocked. I mean, how does that happen?
Yeah, there's a lot of answers for that. I will tell you the funny answer, which is also true. I've been a songwriter for a long time, and I knew that winning a Grammy just wasn't getting it closer fast enough. So I Googled how to win an Emmy, and I followed the instructions. That is the truth.
No way.
A lot of things had to happen for that to work. But first of all, I at least did my research to figure out how viable is this, right? But the real truth is that that is the truth. But so to go deeper, I decided I wanted to make a short film in about 2010 about a little boy with Down syndrome who played T-ball in Floyd's Knobs, Indiana. I met his dad in the airport between speaking gigs or whatever it was, and it was a great story. But I knew. I knew it wasn't going to go very far being published in the local paper. I thought it was a great story. I thought it had the word viral was just starting to get really overused then. It still is. I was like, maybe I can help this story. It's just cool. So I decided I was going to make a short film about this story. And I did what I still do now in a way. I was actually at my mastermind. We held a mastermind for several years before the Grammy Awards, and I would take some clients. And I had a lot of big name people in there that you would know. I had a lot of people in there you wouldn't know, but all great business people, great marketers, just good people. And they were going to be the Grammys, and we did a mastermind together. And I said, hey, I'm just going to spend my time sharing this story with you, and then I'll tell you afterwards what I want to do. So I shared it with them. I read it. Everyone's crying like babies. It's a happy story, but one of those you just can't help but tear up. So I said, look, here's the deal. I want to go make a short film. I've never done this before, but I've never, you guys all trust me. If you'll give me a little bit of money, you can be a producer. If you give me a little more money, you can be an executive producer. This is not a money-making venture because everyone I ever know has tried to make money in movies, loses all their money. So I don't want to do that. So just do it if you feel like it's something you want to just learn as I go and you think it'd be cool to be part of telling this story. So interestingly, the biggest name people in that room were not the most generous. The people who were just, running great law firms and whatever else were very generous. Not that there's anything telling in that. It was just interesting to me. And so I went a couple months later, and I flew into Floyd's Knobs, Indiana, and we filmed, and we made a short doc. And we actually did a whole campaign around it. It was a Bill Harrison and some of those guys at the time said, hey, everyone does these product launches. What if we did a product launch maybe once a year that wasn't for us? It was just like for charity. And they're like, that'd be awesome. So we set up this thing at the time called Marketers for Good. It's evolved now. It's called Entrepreneurs International. And we set up this whole thing, and we got a bunch of people to blast it through the list. And we raised not as much as I would like, but we raised some money for kids with special needs. And you can still see that movie at jacobsturn.com. So that was my first film. We got 2 Emmy nominations. I won an Emmy for directing that film, so I figured I probably shouldn't stop. And then now I just am directing my 60th film that you know about, actually, with the help of you and Russell and ClickFunnels and your community. Really interestingly, I would say this. There's been so many things I've done in my life that, now looking back, they were really hard. I think that we all have to go through some knocks to figure out our real gifts in life, where we should be. Our Dan Sullivan calls it unique ability. And you got to have a lot of experiences to come to that. But I will just say, for those of you out there searching for something, for the first time in my life, I almost feel guilty about filmmaking because it comes so naturally. And it's because, believe me, it's not because of a talent in the way you think of. Like, I direct movies, right? And so my family's like, oh, so you shoot the cameras? I'm like, no. They're like, oh, so you like edit it? I'm like, no. Like, so you write the script? I'm like, no. They're like, so it's sort of like Office Space, you know? So what exactly would you say you do around here, Nick? So I just kind of put the team together and I get the stories put together. And ultimately, I'm responsible for making sure it comes out with sort of the feel and the look and the heart that I wanted to. But just rest assured that you're probably not going to get a whole lot better at things you really suck at unless you really want to, which is different. So look for the things that your skill sets can be used in. And for me, what ended up happening was my ability to put together people in groups, we'll call it, and give them amazing experiences like going to the Grammys or whatever else has converted now into the majority of the films that I make are me basically taking a group of people on a journey with me, and they help fund the movie. And just as transparency, it is not, it's not an investment. I don't like that model. Perhaps when I find a consistent model that makes money, I'll be okay with that. But I was much more comfortable sharing an experience with people that I knew they would be happy to pay for and that they would get value out of it. And there was no question of, well, I didn't get what I wanted out of that. So I'll shut up in a second, but I think this is also important. My crew, I've trademarked this, by the way. You asked me about trademark. I trademarked the best crew in the world. That's literally, I have the trademark. So if you want the best crew in the world, you have to hire me. But my crew is not only the best in the world at shooting movies, they're also spectacularly good at playing the game of craps. So when we travel around the world, we go to casinos and we play craps. And I don't have the exact numbers, so don't quote me, but if we've played 10 times, I walked out with double my money at least 9 times. So these guys are good. But I was at a craps table after shooting a movie recently, and I'd bought us all dinner. We had the whole crew, you know, a few $100, $400 or $500, whatever it was, had a great time, had good dinner, some drinks, hung out. Then we go to the craps table. I only ever spend $300. That's my limit. I realize that these things can become addictive, and I'm not going to let it happen. So I gamble $300. You know, as I get to 200, you know, you sort of hope you start going up early, right? So you don't have to keep going in your pocket. Well, I'm going for the last $100. I'm going, do I do this or do I not? Man, it would really suck if I lose this $100 too. And it really made me stop and think, this is the experiences I provide my clients. They have the dinner experience, the experience of paying for an awesome time with value, great community, great conversation, being a part of something awesome. And I was not at all worried about spending $500 for dinner, but I was worried about another $100 when it came to being an investment. So all that to just tell you is, you can do things differently than everybody else does. And the way you position things in the end, very likely will have much more to do with your customers and clients' perception of whether it was successful or not.
I love it. So is Craps going to be funding the next project then?
Hey, man, only $300 at a time, so probably not, because I'm not willing to risk enough to make it hurt or to make enough money. But it's been fun, and my wife loves it because I always bring her my winnings and say, here, go shop. So I figured out that formula, too, so she keeps encouraging me when I go on trips to go to the casino again, right? But I'm terrible at gambling. I don't know what I'm doing. My crew is like math savants, and they just tell me what to do. And I just do it, and it works out. So,
I want to dive right into. One of the things you are just absolutely amazing at is bringing people together. I mean, I've seen some of your films already, but I mean, sure. Peter Diamandis, amazing, amazing film.
Thank you.
Dan Sullivan's story, amazing film. And I mean, these are guys who are not really that easy to get there to tell their stories, let alone get the people behind you. So, how in the world have you mastered this art of connecting with people?
Yeah, so it's funny. I never really thought about it as that. And maybe that's why it worked, because I wasn't trying to connect with people for any other reason than, you know, I wanted to see what we might do together. I love that Dan Sullivan says, you know, business is a collaboration with the economy, basically, with customers. It's a collaborative experience, not a one-man show. Like, you have to provide something other people want. And so I always ask myself, like, well, we all know what we want. Look, when we get out of from very basic things to be, whether it's healthy, certainly healthy, if it's fit, if we want to have a great relationship with a spouse, or if we want to have good friends, if we want to just get up and have a good hot breakfast, like what is it that you want to achieve in life? And then as like, we all have these things. I mean, just we're built this way. Like, how do I get what I want? But I very quickly realized that it's obviously much more fun achieving what you want to achieve along with others, number one. And number two, it's way easier to get what you want if you give other people what they want. And, you know, that's probably been ridden like a wet horse way too often. And it's almost the same way that when people tell me, I meet people at all these events, like, well, how can I support you? And it's like a great question to ask, but it's such a crap question in so many ways, because it's so cheap in some ways. Some people, it's just like the thing I'm supposed to say. So I sort of hate this advice, but I love it at the same time, because if you really mean it, it works. So recently, like, I got the opportunity to tell Larry King's life story. It's just something I want to do. So Larry agreed to let me do it. I had to find the money to do it. So I went to my clients and friends and said, hey, look, if you will pay this much money, I will bring you to LA with me. You will sit in on my interview with Larry King. You get a photo with Larry. You get to meet Larry. You'll get to be an executive producer and a producer on this TV special I'm making on Larry. And for the rest of your life, you're going to have not only a great cocktail party conversation, you're going to be the most interesting guy in the room because you have this story, and you're going to be able to have something to show for it. You're going to be like, yeah, I executive produced Larry King's life story. Like, you're never going to be separated from Larry King's story. Like, that will, you'll go hand in hand with that. And so that's how I funded Larry's story. That's how I funded Peter's story. That's how I funded Brian Tracy's story. That's how I funded Jack Canfield's story. That's how I funded Jay Abraham's story. There's others I've done different ways, like me and David Berg and Joe Polish gave Dan Sullivan his movie as a gift, right? But most of the films I've funded, we're doing one right now on wounded warriors who have PTSD, and they're is an organization that takes rescue dogs and trains them to become service dogs. And it costs $25,000 just to do this process. And then they give them to the wounded warriors. They board them for 3 weeks in a group and teach them how to live life with a service dog. And it literally not only changes their life, it gives them a new life. They call it a new leash on life, which is cute. But they literally, it stops them from committing suicide. Like, literally, because they have a friend to go through life with. So I funded that with 11 friends who said, hey, yeah, I'd love to go meet these wounded warriors. I'd love to be a part of this movie. Cool. I've funded movies in the ghettos of Acapulco. I've funded movies in the hill tribes of Oaxaca, Mexico. We've been to the Dominican Republic multiple times. And so I honestly, it's just, in a selfish way, it's me finding stories that I'm fascinated with and I know that I will learn from. And then who can I drag along with me? And what do I need to do? What sort of value can I give them in order to get them to follow Crazy Nick on adventures? That's like a big piece of my model.
You know, I love that, though. I think that's, if people can understand the importance of experiences and bringing people along. I know right now, for us, by the time this actually airs live, it'll be already be released. But we actually we've hired you to basically go out and film Operation Underground Railroad with Tim Ballard and his story. And man, I get chills even just on the text and the things I was getting back from you while you were in Haiti. And Tim was here in our office and we were talking about this. And I'm like, no, there's no one better than you to be able to capture that kind of a story. And for me, I totally feel like God's hand has been involved in the filming and everything as far as how this has come together. But I think it's just fascinating that, again, when Russell was talking about, gosh, you know, who do we do and all this kind of stuff, and your name came up, as like, yeah, of course, there's no one else besides Nick to film this because of the way you're able to convey stories so well. And I want to kind of talk to you a little bit about this whole story selling aspect.
Yeah.
What actually is story selling, and how do you use it in your story selling experiences all day long?
Yeah.
But how do people use story selling?
Yeah, and there's a lot of that. First, I want to start and just acknowledge you guys for, and I'm honored to do the OUR story. It's like it's a once in a lifetime story, and hopefully we can end trafficking or be a big piece of that by Tim story. I mean, you want to talk about real heroes, dude? I mean, this guy going into the ghettos of the world and saving children. And when I say the ghettos, like, when we were in Haiti, so Haiti is a sketchy country, and I don't mean that against their people. It's just very corrupt. There's a lot of things working against it. It's a very sad thing. But it is and we were in the sketchiest neighborhood in the weird part of Haiti in a country that's already, and I was scared out of my mind, and I was there for 2 days. And Tim does this like on a weekly basis. It's like mind blowing. So anyway, I'm super honored to do it. But I think so where I think people get lost in story, this is interesting. When I don't know if I articulate it this way, when I do Larry King's story or Peter's story, or I'm probably going to get hired to do a really high profile story coming up here. That is a very controversial figure. He's not trapped in all of this, all the sexual stuff and all that right now, thankfully. But he's very controversial in the political realm. And the reason I'm interested in doing it is because I have a basic human belief, a faith that at the end of the day, we're pretty much who we are because of where we are in life and the things that have happened along the way to put us in the position we are. Whether we're jaded about something, super excited about something, whether the sound of a certain song makes me happy or makes me cry because my sixth grade girlfriend broke up with me. Like, it's like a result of these things we go through. And so the reason I'm interested in doing it is because at the end of the day, we're all humans, and there's way more in common than we have than uncommon. And even at the weirdest level of making this movie on human trafficking, which is one of the biggest travesties, one of the most evil things in the world. I mean, I went through in my mind, and this is going to sound really twisted, but I hope you can understand it. I went through my mind, what would it take to traffic somebody? Like, why would someone even do that? Is it?
No, honestly, I had the exact same thought when I was talking to Tim. I mean, we're somewhat related, and I remember when we were at the beach one day, I was talking, what does it take for a person to get to that state of mind where they can feel comfortable doing it?
Yeah, and I don't know if they ever feel comfortable, but they do it because in so many ways, systemically, it just sort of seems, I mean, societally, it's or like wherever they are, it's not so taboo you won't do it. And it's systemically, you're looking out for yourself. And like there are traffickers who traffic other children to feed their own children. Now, that's really messed up and strange. But at the end of the day, I hope that through things like what Tim is doing and some rehabilitation of not only the children, but on someday, maybe we can get to rehabilitating the traffickers and people who end up in prison systems and stuff, because that's a long road to hoe. But at the end of the day, we are all humans, and we have more in common than we have uncommon. And I love the fact that when I interview Peter, we talked about space and all that, but we got to human Peter's basic desire, you know, to change the world and go to space. We get to Larry King's it's really funny. Probably the most successful people I've ever met, all of them gave me this answer somewhere where I asked them, like, why do you do what you do? Why do you think you are where you are? And they all said in one way or the other, I'm insanely curious. Like, I'm really, really, really curious. And it comes out the weirdest time. I heard from Peter, heard from Larry, heard from like everybody, really. And I think at the end of the day, that's why we all do what we do on some level. But I love telling these stories because I'm trying to show everybody why you can do this too. Why Peter is an insanely crazy dude who launched the first private spaceship. That's insane. Why Richard Branson and Mark Cuban are who they are. But you know what? At the end of the day, the more I dig into this stuff, it's really because they had a really big why. Obviously, because they're really curious, because that just keeps coming up. So I'm going to pay attention to that. So we call it a theme. So I'm going to keep paying attention to that. And then third, it's like, so I have a really big why. I'm really curious, and I'm trying to help people. I'm trying to do something that I think will genuinely help the world. And that's like never gets old, because I know for me as a kid in a garage band trying to get a record deal, I wanted to know that was possible. You know, I just did Rudy's movie, right? The football player Rudy, where we just did a premiere in LA. We're in the middle of negotiating distribution on a major platform. But like Rudy's story is like every person is an underdog in some way, shape, or form in their life. And everyone resonates with that story. And I love the fact that even Rudy was a feature film that is with actors and everything. Like, I don't do those. I do documentaries, or thus far, that's what I've really enjoyed doing. I don't know that I want to do features. I'm sort of questioning that. I don't think so, but who knows? But I love Rudy's story because even a feature film, and even a fictional feature film, even a movie like, God, there's so many. The one I'm thinking of, Good Will Hunting, let's say, or Dead Poets Society, or, I mean, these things can literally change your outlook at whatever you're experiencing. They can literally shift what your next move is. And is every one of them going to be, you know, I've heard Think and Grow Rich in a similar way credited for making people successful. And will it be, is that the, are any of these movies or films the pivotal moment? Well, I don't know. But if I could spend my time that I have limited here on earth, thanks to Peter, it's getting longer, hopefully. If I could spend my time inspiring people through the experiences that I'm getting to have, and I get to have more of those experiences and share more of that stuff with people, well, I mean, well, first of all, why not? But obviously, in a way, I've become convicted that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I just really try to get to the core of what in this person's life is instructive and can be instructive for someone else who's trying to achieve anything. And, you know, Peter's story, I mean, Peter's story is insane, obviously. One of the best things about it, I use it all the time in my speeches. You know, I interviewed Richard Branson about it because he ended up buying the technology from the winning team, turned down the sponsorship like four times, ends up buying the technology from the winning team. Like, Richard, why didn't you just sponsor? And he goes, well, Peter came for me. He's a really bright guy. Came and spoke to me. But unfortunately, listen to this, we're always doing too many things and strapped for cash. And I'm like, what? Wait, what? So Richard Branson, doing too many things, strapped for cash. Okay, I feel that way. And basically, I'm always going to feel that way because Richard Branson feels that way. Okay, that's validating. I'm good with that. And then second of all, he's like, Peter, he launched a $10 million prize, and he did not have $10 million. And the way he literally got the money was with hole-in-one golf tournament insurance. They bet against the fact that they could not build a spaceship in this period of time that would actually go to space. And they did. They had to pay out the insurance policy. But those two things alone could change someone's course of action. It could go, well, damn. So Peter read, you know, the book about the Spirit of St. Louis and the first, you know, transatlantic flight. And he thought about, wait, it was a prize that got that to happen. How could I use a prize to get to space? Look, it could be one of those things. And if, like, sort of my audacious goal would be like, how could I make enough films that would have enough nuggets in them that would inspire and help a billion people on their path to doing cooler things? Like, sort of too ethereal to really get anyone behind it, but like, so I'll work on my wording. Don't get me wrong, but that's sort of what I'm doing. And so I've been blessed with guys like you guys and Russell, like supporting me going to tell another story. And there's so much hope in that story. And it's so great talking to Russell about the Operation Underground Railroad and trafficking story of I want to tell the story of redemption and of hope. There's a lot of darkness in this, and you can get, I could make 27 hours worth of fascinating raid footage and all, and that'll be a big part of the movie. Don't get me wrong. We got Tony Robbins, we got Glenn Beck, we got raids, and we got, we did a raid in Haiti and arrested a trafficker. It's sort of like interesting, seedy edge of the world stuff. But at the end of the day, it's a big problem that I want to project hope on. Can we stop every human being in the world from being trafficked? I would love that, but I would still love to find hope in even just the four we just rescued. And then Tim just rescued his 1,000th kid. Now, there's still millions out there, which is so sad, but how do we find some hope, and how do we make sure guys like Tim can keep going because people are finding hope and redemption in what he's already doing?
Yeah, I love it. I love what you're doing, Nick. You're just a master at really getting those kind of stories out without taking, you and I were talking earlier, it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, I can make this a real terrible, vicious type of victim mentality, right. But it's supposed to be a movie that our kids can watch, your daughter can watch, right. Where you're like, you know what, that, oh, I get it. And
yeah,
I appreciate that skill and the talent that you have and being able to portray it in a way that really conveys that while at the same time gets the message out that we need to help these people.
Well, thanks. It's a tall task on this movie for sure. I don't know. My daughter is 6, so she will not be watching it anytime soon. I can tell you that. But yeah, even my boys have heard me talking about a trafficking movie. They go, "What's that?" And I have a almost 13-year-old, and it's a hard conversation to have. And not only buying and selling people, but the sexual side of it is just very complicated. And so it remains yet to be seen how young of an audience I can make this for and still make it effective. But that is the really cool charge with all this. Like, most importantly, how do we make it redemptive, and how do we make it so that it's a tool as opposed to just, you know, a sensationalistic thing that's like, how terrible is this? How cool are these raids? How cool are these Navy SEALs? And again, you can't get past all that. But how do we find more in it? And I think, you know, it's a tough line to walk, but we're doing our best. I'm proud of what we're doing with it, and I think it'll come out in a way that is it certainly a different look at it for a lot of people.
Well, I can't wait to see it, and again, it'll be fascinating for us. It's been fun working with Tim on it as well. So tell me, if people want to get a hold of you, how do they reach out to you then?
Yeah, I think probably the easiest way to sort of keep up with all things that I'm sort of working on, if you're interested in that, between our agency and others, you just go to nicknanson.com. You can opt in there somewhere to get a special report or download a book or something. You will then, of course, get in our funnel systems. But you'll sort of start seeing what we're up to. Of course, I'm on social media and everywhere else. But, I'd love I'm always looking for great stories. Great stories have to have funding. So thanks to guys like you and Russell that are willing to step up and fund some of these. But we also do a lot of cool things where, you know, we take people sort of around the world and work on different people's different organization stories. I'm always looking for people who want to join in that fight. So,
well, Nick, any parting words before we let you go?
I would just say, look, whatever you're doing right now, just keep fighting the good fight, but keep looking for the things that are easier than they should be. That's God telling you something. And, while every day does have its own struggles, look for those things that are your unique ability, because I truly believe, based on, you know, what I've learned, what I've experienced, and I love Dan Sullivan's concept of unique ability. If you really focus on your unique ability, your ability to do what you do and help a lot more people is exponential. So I'm excited by that.
That's awesome. Well, Nick, thank you so much. Love having you on the show. And again, we'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, Dave.
So what'd you guys think? I'm dying to know. If you don't mind, leave me some comments down below. I'd love to know kind of what you thought. Also, let me know if there's anybody out there you'd want me to interview. Tell me. I'll try to go get them, make sure we get you all their tips, their tricks, their secrets. I want to make sure you guys have all the cool funnel hacking secrets that we talk about all the time. Also, make sure you ring that bell, subscribe, get the notifications. You don't want to miss any of this stuff. Go ahead, subscribe. Do it right now. Go down below, subscribe.